Son-in-law Jethro, am journeying to meet you, as are your wife and two children. Moses went out to greet them. Then he bowed down before Jethro and kissed him, and they inquired after each other's health. Then they all went into Moses' tent. Moses told them everything that Yahweh had done to Pharaoh and to Egypt for Israel's sake. He told of their journey and its hardships and how God had provided for them. The next morning, Moses served as a judge and resolved the people's disputes and was surrounded by them from dawn until dusk. When Jethro saw this, he asked, "What is this about with all the people around you? Why do you sit there with the people from dawn to dusk?" Moses replied, "The people come to me for God's advice. If there is a dispute among them, they come to me to settle their differences, and I instruct them in the statutes and the laws of God." Jethro said, "This is not a good way. You and your people will wear yourselves out. It's too great a burden. Let me give you some advice, and God will help you. Have them bring their cases before God and represent them before God in those matters. Teach them the laws and the statutes, and instruct them how to conduct themselves and what they should do. At the same time, find able, God-fearing people, honest and incorruptible, and appoint them as officials over units of 10, of 50, of hundreds, of thousands. These can serve as judges for the people at all times. Let them handle the simple cases and bring difficult cases to you. Thus, your burden will be both lightened and shared. By doing it this way, when God requires more of you in the future, the strain will not bring you down and the people will arrive at their destination in peace." Moses heard Jethro's counsel and took it. He selected wise people from all of Israel and appointed them as officials over units of 10, of 50, of hundreds, of thousands. They heard the simpler cases daily and the difficult cases they brought before Moses. Then Moses bid his father-in-law farewell, and Jethro returned home. This is a word from our ancient holy story. Thanks be to God.
So this summer we're exploring life and life's lessons through the lens of camping. And some of the lessons we have learned from those experiences. How many of you have been to camp? Like, today I'm speaking not about going camping to a campsite, but how many of you went as young people to camp? Look how many people went to camp. Did you love it? Some did, some didn't. Some do, some don't love camp. There were scouts. Some people went to scouts and guides. Some went to church camps. Some went to sports camps, youth camps. And these were probably some of the best experiences of my young life, mostly because it got me away from home and around other kids, and I enjoyed camp. When I was 29 and 30 years old, I was the camp director at Camp Kasota West for two summers. Now, that was an experience. I was young, 29, 30. I was teaching counselors who were, you know, in some cases, maybe 8-10 years younger than myself, and responsible for this whole camp of 60 kids every week through the summer. Fortunately, I was young and naive and stupid enough not to know what I didn't know, because I think back on that and say, wow, at 30, I was responsible for these young counselors and these young kids for this summer. It was crazy. I cringe today to think about that. But I learned a lot about leadership through those summers, which is what I want to talk about today as one of the experiences that we have through camp. I'm reading a fascinating book now by a guy named Yuval Noah Harari. And he wrote a book called Nexus, which is the book I'm reading right now. And he describes the center of history, or the nexus of history, indeed of all creation, as information. We are not the center of God's creation. Information is the center of God's creation. It's at the center of everything. Everything runs on and is, in fact, a piece of information. It's kind of an interesting concept, this idea of information. Further to this, it is those who generate or discover and then control information that rule the world. Those who discover and control information are those who lead the world, rule the world. And that happens right now to be humans, and has been throughout history. So far. But increasingly it has and will be computers who have all of the information and control the world, and eventually artificial intelligence, which will generate all the information, control the information, and make decisions with that information. And that day is coming faster than we think. So how does this relate to leadership? Well, if we explore the premise that information is at the heart of history, then leadership has to do with managing information, how it is generated and disseminated. And leadership, good leadership, is about doing this really well. Which doesn't mean that the person or people who control information are good or promoting good with it. It just means they are good at controlling information. And there are two facets to managing or controlling information that a leader has to pay attention to. One is to manage the narrative, and the other is to create a functional bureaucracy to manage systems. Sounds really boring. But another way to put this is that a good leader creates a good story that inspires and connects groups, and then they keep track of all the data about those groups that will help them manage the system. Numbers, records, rules, laws, and things like that. And anyone who can do that well will be a good leader. Not necessarily for good, if you get the difference. So this was my narrative as a camp director. When I gathered the counselors together, my narrative is this, my story is this. Those campers are coming for a great time to have fun, to build relationships with each other, and to learn more about God. That's what we're here for. That's what we're leading here for. That's my narrative. But the other part of my job was to manage the campers, to schedule, to know who was in what cabins, to know what people were doing at certain times, when they were doing crafts, when they were, that sort of thing. I had to manage the group for the week, every single week. That's the story. That's the bureaucracy of camp. So today Pat read about the Israelites as they camped in the wilderness. And they have been wandering in the wilderness for some time when Jethro, who is Moses' father-in-law, comes to meet him to see how he's doing. And there he finds Moses dealing with the petty squabbles between all of the thousands of people who are in the camp. And Jethro says to Moses, "What are you doing, man? You can't go on like this. This is going to wear you out. The bureaucracy of this. You're supposed to be inspiring these people, creating a vision, listening for God, not sitting day and night arbitrating conflict. Get other people to do that for you. It's too big for you and you have better things to do." And that's what Moses did. He got other people to take care of the organization part. A good leader will give people a compelling story that inspires, creates identity, generates pride, and creates a sense of belonging. And when you can spin a convincing story, you can manage people, even if the story is not based in fact. Stories of countries are not based in any objective fact. They are stories. And people believe them, and they believe that there are actual land borders and that people who live within them belong to a certain country or nation or people. The stories are true simply because enough people believe them. but they're not based in fact. Same with religions or corporations or families or communities. We belong to them because we share a common story with them, not because they're based in any kind of fact. So a good leader will be a bearer of a big story, the bigger picture. So that's what politicians, ministers, corporate leaders try to do. They draw people in around a story. The story of Canada, the story of Jesus, the story of Loblaws. They tell the story and people believe it and belong. For Moses, it was the story and the history of Israel. Its enslavement in Egypt, its liberation from slavery, its commitment to God, and its vision of a promised land. That's what brought those people together. And it is the story that is still told by Jewish people today, and it is still compelling what is going on in the world today. The other role of the leader is not very sexy, but it's just as important. While the story is compelling and generates loyalty, it's not enough to manage information. A good leader will manage information in a way that generates and maintains order in a group of people. This includes keeping records, it means laws, it keeps track of who's who, where people belong, what people are supposed to do, and where everything is. Now, we're fortunate in this church, we have one of each of those doing that work. One who is more a visionary and one who more keeps track of things in the church. And the older and bigger that groups of people become, like nations or churches or corporations, the more bureaucracy is required in that system. The reason I'm talking about leadership is because we're all leaders. And I am hoping that someday this very new baptized young girl will become a great leader with her family, the community, wherever she goes. We need good leaders. Most of us lead somehow in our lives, whether in a group of people, our work, our church, our community. We are all leaders. And if the world is showing us anything today, it's that we need good, honest leaders who have integrity and humility. What is the story that compels you, and what is the story that you tell others? Is it a big enough story to inspire, to draw people in? How are you helping people to see the possibility of the world, of the goodness, and draw them into community? And how are you contributing to keep good order, building a better society, not allowing it to devolve into chaos? God took humble, fallible, ordinary people and called them to be leaders. God is still calling for good leaders today. And every single one of you is one of them. Let's just take a moment for silence.